Welcome to the Next M podcast. Tech at heart, ignition in mind.
Hello and welcome to the Next M podcast. My name is Lars Peters and my guest today is Stefan Radčelović. He is brand safety manager EMEA for the group M. And I'm happy, of course, to talk with him about brand safety. Stefan, at Dimexco this year, there was the slogan, trust in you. Trust, of course, is important in media. How does Group M in general relate to like a slogan like trust in you and trust in general?
Oh, hi to you as well and to the audience listening to this. Well, for us, in terms of my role, what I do, trust is a very foundation of brand safety. So brand safety in general, it's for those of you who are not familiar with the term, means that a brand should appear in an environment, meaning on a publisher's website or a social platform, that is respectful of users, that is actually quality content. There is no harmful content and such, that it should be respectful of user privacy, etc. So essentially what we do, we trust our publishers and media partners to deliver content that has all those characteristics. And then on top of that, it doesn't really hurt that we sometimes have contractual protection on top of that. And then finally, for us, trust means that Group M as a business is able to deliver to our clients and to our partners what we say that we will, which means often brand safety environment for them.
So in terms of trust for an agency like Group M, what are currently the most important trends that you are dealing with when it comes to clients and publishers?
And the questions that I get the most are actually about social platforms. So pretty much on a daily basis, there is a question, can we advertise on this social platform XYZ? And do you think it's safe enough? Do you think there are issues with the content on how they actually monitor what is happening on the platform? And then what basically we do at Group M is that I personally actually assess quite a lot of social platforms, and I say that, you know, it's high risk, it's medium risk, it's low risk, and then it actually depends on the client. So Group M doesn't make a decision whether a particular client should advertise on one social platform. We just warn the client, we tell them, this is the risk that you're running if you're engaging. So if you are, you should be aware of it. And it's up to you to accept it or not, because essentially it is brand's investment. We are just trusted advisors. And that's what we are. That's basically my daily job, taking care of that kind of question.
Okay, there were at least like two relevant points that I would like to take up now, because you were mentioning social networks as being kind of an important area when it comes to brand safety, and also that you are giving the recommendation. So how do you evaluate that? How do you see, like, if you're checking a platform, this is brand safe or this is not brand safe, there's a high risk, there's a low risk for your brand? How do you do that?
That's a trade secret, I'm afraid. I'm kidding. So if it's an app, I would download an app. I would go and actually feel how it feels like from a user perspective. I would start using it. I would see where ads are running. Are they running in the content or they are adjacent to the content? And then I would check like what kind of comments there are on this app. Are people commenting something harmful? Because often you have, unfortunately, people engaging with younger audiences in a very inappropriate manner. And that's something that we would not want to see. Then, for example, I would check, is there a community guidelines of this app or of this particular platform, how they actually monitor this. So does the platform have, I don't know, machine learning that is monitoring those comments and just deleting those comments that are bad and harmful? And then really what is really important for us is if there is a third party verification allowed on these platforms, which means that, you know, often platforms tend to be so-called walled gardens, which means that you buy an ad and they report based on their own data. Everything happens behind the wall.
Right. Yeah.
So, but what is important for us as buyers is that what they actually say, that's actually true, that we can trust. So often buyers want to be able to deploy an external technology, which is content verification technology, etc., that actually just, you know, can prevent ads being served in inappropriate environments, or can they can just report, this is how many ads appeared next to this video that had certain pornographic elements.
Yeah.
So we know that in the future we can block that kind of content from being adjacent to our clients' ads.
So is it not only about like taking a whole publisher's offer, like let's call it Facebook or Twitter or whatever, like a social network, probably they are not that problematic, taking the whole publisher out of your activities that you would recommend, but is it also about like just spots or areas of that websites, for instance? So what you said, like when the advertisement is being shown adjacent to this content, so that you only say like, okay, this area is out of questions, we wouldn't recommend it to be there.
So first of all, we don't recommend something to be taken out. We just, again, we give guidance on what is more or what is less risky. And then it's the client who decides. So GroupM doesn't just delete one platform and says, you know what, we're not going to work with you. No, we don't do that. We pretty much just classify them and allow advertisers to do that. When it comes to particular parts of it, well, it depends on the platform. You know, many social platforms have different products. So there are some platforms that have, you know, feed where you can place, or there is a search result. Then you have platforms that host so-called audience networks or ad networks. So they have partner publishers, but you can buy ads on those partner publishers through that platform. So we always assess each one of these products, and we always have that assessment again for each of the products, and then the client decides.
And is that done because you are responsible for EMEA, so for the whole market of Europe, Africa, Middle Eastern? So that's quite a huge area or large area. So if there's like someone from Poland coming or some African country, are you also the one checking that, or are you and your team? Or is that also being handed back to someone in those countries because they are more know more about those platforms?
Yeah. So my role is to assess those platforms and to establish policy at the very EMEA level, so top level. And then those policies, assessments go to agencies. Yeah. And GroupM is fortunate enough to have quite a few agencies that are very strong in their markets. So that assessment goes to those agencies, and then agencies implement that. But for example, I would be the one who would, me and my team, it's not only me, it's, good to clarify, is that we would be assessing those major platforms. However, if there is one platform that is available only in, I don't know, South Africa, that would be very likely handled by a local team, and they would follow our guidance how to actually assess them.
Yeah. The other things that you were mentioning is like a high risk and low risk. So do you deliver kind of a number, a percentage number of like zero is no risk at all and 100 is like very risky and you should not do it, and then there's a limit? Or are you delivering are you writing a short text about it? So where are the problems or where are the pros and cons? Is that like kind of the way that you would do it and deliver it or give it to the advertiser?
Yeah, so we have a grid, and I spoke earlier about what kind of things we look into. So it's pretty much a checklist. You know, this platform has a community guidelines. Is it monitored by some kind of a machine or algorithm, or is there a human verification, which is incredibly important sometimes? You know, so it's pretty much a checklist. There is no really percentage of 100% high risk and 50 medium, whatever, but it's somehow when you put it all together, all these elements, it makes sense.
Yeah, I hope so at least.
They do, because we've spoken to a couple of platforms, and they very often agree with our assessments of their own platforms.
Now we've been only discussing platforms, and lots of those are social media, of course, do have like classical media also problems of being brand safe. Are you seeing a shift there in printed or linear television or whatever? Do you from time to time still have that discussion, or do people know, are they aware of the problems for their brands there?
I think we have, with the TV not so much, with print, you pretty much know where you're buying before it appears. Where we still have issues is it's actually just typical digital display and video on publishers' websites. So I'm not speaking now about platforms, I'm just speaking to, you know, about typical publisher that you'll go to read news. Mm-hmm. And why we have an issue there is because it depends how you buy. Sometimes if you buy through ad exchange, your ads can appear on different websites that are part of the ad network and etc. And then that's where it's really important to have a proper due diligence by platforms that empower that buy. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it can happen that your ad appears on a website that engages on in online disinformation, otherwise called fake news. Mm. Or on a website where you did not really intend. And often, you know, fraud in digital advertising exists, and it's actually quite big. It's like it measures in billions of euros or US dollars, pretty much billions. Yeah. So unfortunately, so basically you have, there is a very great danger that a legitimate publisher, for example, let's take the Financial Times, their domain is spoofed, which means that somebody else behaves like mm-hmm. their Financial Times, but they're mm-hmm. really not. So you end up paying for an ad being placed on that somewhere else, and you think, yeah, it's the Financial Times, but it's really not. So
but what are you doing in those cases, and how do you notice that there's something wrong or that someone took it over?
There are different third-party technologies that, mm-hmm. that help us identify that. Also, IB Tech Lab is developing quite a lot of technical specifications, technical tools to help us. For example, you've heard about ads.txt. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty much a file that a publisher can just implement on their website, and that's where they say who is allowed to sell and resell their property. So we as a buyer, we can always know, you know, you shouldn't, unless that seller or reseller is specifically listed on the website or let's say the Financial Times, you know you shouldn't buy it. So you know that's one of the ways to escape. And fraud is really like you have lots of different use cases. But there is technology being out there. It's evolving, but as technology is evolving, also fraudsters are evolving. Yes. So it's a continuous race.
So, but does that mean like seeing your work, what you are doing on a daily basis, that you are monitoring more or less like all campaigns that are being run or booked by Group M, or is it, do you have like an alarm system that's like no, there's something wrong and you need to act? Because the more you're explaining now, the more I understand like, okay, how many opportunities there are just to bring in fraud, maybe taking over a website, and there's so many things that can go wrong when I'm running a campaign.
Yeah, so you can. I personally do not monitor every single campaign that there is. Mm-hmm. There are too many campaigns to do that. As I said, we just established processes, you know, and governance. So if this happens, I don't know, you identify a website, a placement of a luxury brand mm-hmm. on some website that sells fake goods, for example, that is a big problem. Yeah. You know, what is the escalation? What do you do? First of all, you know, you check the actual placement, then you see how that happened, then you block the domain, etc., etc. So we had just established a timeline basically for people mm-hmm. how to behave, and then everything else, campaigns are actually implemented by one of our agencies and local Group M. My role is a much elevated role in the sense that it just stands there establishing those processes, and then implementation is local.
I still need to ask you then an operational question. So what it would maybe mean for me right now, would I have more brand safety if I book a campaign via IO, like inverse order, or is it like more safe than doing it programmatically? Can you say that?
In principle, we always, for our clients who have the lowest risk tolerance, mm-hmm. we always say that probably the safest is to buy direct, meaning that you know exactly which publisher at what point your ad is appearing. And you mentioned before you actually wanted to know more about low risk, medium
sure,
risk,
sure,
high,
exactly.
etc.
That would bring it up, like what branches are there, like what branches are low risk branches. Yeah.
So low risk is pretty, it really depends, but I would say one of the most known low risk is branches, a luxury branch, because you know the very essence of luxury is that you can't just buy it anywhere. You should not be able to associate that brand with anything apart from something that has to do with luxury or, you know, just good living.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they're very, very, very sensitive to this. And then you also have big global companies that produce suites. And
they don't mind if they are like...
No. They're also very sensitive because they obviously have to take care how they advertise to children. Mm-hmm. Actually, they don't advertise to children, but they have to make sure that they actually don't do it.
Oh, okay.
And that's a tricky thing, you know, where, how do you know that one particular publisher has that percentage of under 13 or under 16, etc. So there is lots of, you know, brand safety just not really about appropriateness. Mm. It's also about legality and illegality, where you're placing ads. So, for example, anti-piracy.
Yeah.
You'd not want to place an ad on a website that streams illegally Game of Thrones.
Probably not, but maybe some. So, like, but what is a brand that does not bother that much at all?
I would, you know, I couldn't name a specific brand or a specific brand, to be honest, on that one, because most of our clients do care. Not at the level of all luxury brands, for example, but most of our clients do care.
Okay. So, like, when I'm putting the booking process or communication process into order, we have, well, the advertiser, then we have a media agency, we have publishers, and then we have consumers. So, in that chain, how is the, well, a relation of trust between the different partners? Can you explain? So, how do you need to trust in most?
Well, it's a trust network, if you like. You know, how it works is, you know, we win a pitch, GroupM wins a pitch, we get a big client, they come to us, and then we make those recommendations, we assess what their risk tolerance is, and then they trust us, and also supported by contractual obligations, that we are going to operationalize their strategy in a manner that is going to be protective of their brand as well. And then we do it, but you know how we do it? By using technology, meaning DSPs. So we, again, trust DSPs. They're going to do their job, again, supported by contractual obligations.
Right.
And then DSPs and also agencies who have direct relationship and direct trading deals with publishers. Again, there is another line of trust that we trust they're going to give us viewable, legal, and good content, and fraud-free content and inventory. So as you can see, it's like a thread of trust that is... But it's not really unique to the advertising industry. I mean...
You probably have it like in other branches as well. I see the point, but it's clear that it's where it's so easy to like mess something up or to make mistakes or to have like fraud, like in the digital media area. Then it's even more important that you can really trust each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
So GroupM is a part of the Global Alliance for Responsible Media. So GroupM as an agency network is like really putting this topic high. So GroupM is in such a network. So why do you need to work like on an international level on this topic?
Yeah, just a little correction is not...
Sure. I want to learn.
No, we are actually the first agency network that had specialists working only on brand safety. So there are 9 of us globally, like myself, working only on brand safety. Why we are addressing this? Because, first of all, we are a global agency. Second of all of our clients are... Well, all of our...
Most
majority
of them,
of our clients actually work at least across borders. And then finally, you know, the internet is one. You don't have many internets. Well, sometimes maybe in certain Asian countries, but in principle, internet is one. So there is no limit on where the harm is caused.
Mm.
So a fraudster can sit in Australia.
But still affect Germany, for instance.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's really important to have global approach. Mm-hmm. And also, it's important to have a global approach because we cannot have one conversation at a time. This is not, brand safety is not, you know, we somehow for a while we jumped from one brand safety crisis to another one. First, there was terrorist content on YouTube, and then there was something else happening on I don't know what it was. It was Instagram, and then something else. So it was always one conversation at a time among ourselves and also with clients. And instead of doing that, this new global alliance for responsible media that was created by our clients, and Group M is actually lucky to be one of the founding members, that's the effort to bring all those one-time conversations under one umbrella and have one big conversation, how to make media more responsible, not towards only towards brands, but also towards users, because brand safety has become increasingly a topic, not about brand safety, but about protecting integrity of media so that the actual content that users see is respectful and not harmful to them.
Okay, so that brings me to my last question, because like for the last couple of years, the GDPR in German it's the Datenschutzgrundverordnung, and we've been discussing it for quite a long time, and now it's in action for 1.5 years or so. You, as someone who knows that topic well, what has changed ever since?
You know, whenever somebody mentions the GDPR, there is this air around, like atmosphere, oh my God, it's completely new. But GDPR may be as law new, but data protection, believe it or not, existed before the GDPR.
Yes.
And we all had to comply with certain things, and I believe we did. And then what GDPR just brought was more accountability and more transparency to users. So more accountability just in the last year or so of GDPR implementation just produced greater due diligence of partners we work with. So, for example, you would go to a vendor and you would ask them what kind of consent or another legal basis are you having? Is it of good quality? How have you obtained this audience? Where have you obtained it? And then supporting that by, again, certain contractual protections, but also conducting that due diligence of our partners. And then it also started this greater debate about transparency, about telling users in a very plain language what is actually happening with their data. And that is a challenge. So you have frameworks. I don't know if you heard about IB Europe Transparency and Consent Framework, which is basically designed to help publishers obtain consent on behalf of their partners at tech vendors, and then communicate that consent to them.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it just allows vendors and publishers to speak the same GDPR language. That's how I explain it to people. And then the TCF also has one part about user disclosures, like what kind of language you tell. And version 2 has just been released, and there is quite some flexibility for publishers to play around and to explain to users in a better way what is actually happening with their data and how it's being processed, what is a cookie, etc., etc., etc.
So basically, if I get you right, not so many things have changed since then, because we did have like a data protection already. Maybe we are a little bit more aware of it and we are still developing it. It's not over yet and it will never be over again, but we are safely protected as consumers and have like also can also have kind of trust into the companies and advertisers and like the platforms that we are working on.
Yeah, I think you said it right. It's GDPR rose awareness of data protection. I think users should try to engage and try to understand who is placing a cookie, what they're doing with their data. And yeah, it's just, you know, yes, it is about trust, but it's also about being informed.
Yeah.
And I think GDPR does that. That is definitely one of the changes. So I wouldn't say nothing changed. Things changed. But you are very much right. It is a learning curve for companies, regulators, but also for users.
And we had a good learning curve also today when we were talking, or when I was talking to Stevan Radjelovic. I thank you very much for this interesting conversation.
Thank you.